Good morning, everyone. Good morning, and welcome once again to our weekly Sunrise Project call, where it is always a safe space filled with love and a desire for us to heal, starting with ourselves. I'm grateful we're all here this morning. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And this morning, we have an open session as we do the first Sunday of every month with our resident expert, Dr. Linda McGee, who is here with us with her beautiful new hairdo, loving it, and big bright smile on her face. And just a little, if anybody is new and doesn't know who Dr. Linda McGee is, a little bit about her. Dr. Linda McGee, she's a clinical psychologist, attorney, and nationally recognized mental health expert and speaker. She has been featured everywhere, including the Washington Post, the New York Times, Huffington Post, BET's mental health special, and so much more. She is author of a chapter in a book on bipolar disorder and the essentials of multicultural assessment. She served on the clinical faculty at the Washington School of Psychiatry and is a visiting faculty at George Washington University and the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. She has done so many amazing things, and I think most important to us and this community, our community, is she has been with the Sunrise Project since the very beginning, since day one, going on 6 years. I can't even believe it. And we're so grateful for you, for your wisdom, for your coaching, for your counsel, for your love and support all these years. So it is an open session. Thank you for being here again, Dr. Linden. Good morning.
Thank you. I just wanted to say to Sunrise before we open up the mic is that Sunrise has developed into a real force in terms of supporting parents, and it's helped me so much in terms of my listening to all of you, in terms of my work with parents. With children, you all have I have gotten so much more out of it than I've given, and I'm grateful to all of you, and I mean that.
Oh, I love that. And I want to just echo that. I feel the same way. I was telling somebody this week, how this community is so important and such a blessing to me personally. So whether it's one person or 10 people or 5,000 people, it's a space that will always be here, for us. And it helps me every week as well. So
I
I agree.
mean, my philosophy, if it helps one parent move through the
Absolutely.
world easier, more guilt-free, helps one child, one family system put their child and help their child get on the back on the right road again, then I'm grateful.
That's right.
Let's start by, even though this is an open session, I wanted to open the mic. We have had and check in with y'all. This has been a trying week, and Kelly's going to talk a little bit more about the big bill and everything that's come from it. And my perspective is obviously the devastation that it's going to cause communities in need, and particularly in mental health benefits. But there's so much more there that is just devastating. And I just want to have people have the chance to breathe out, put something in chat, come up on, speak out loud, but just to sort of check in with y'all about where y'all are.
Yeah, it's been a trying week, and I'd love to have people speak. It's been a trying week for everybody. And this bill that passed, which is just awful, and it's, all the sweeping legislation impact and how it's going to impact millions of people negatively is quite something. And for me personally, in the middle of it, I was dealing with, in a good way, trying to take a pause to celebrate some positives, like the impact of the Crown Movement. It was National Crown Day this week. And so, trying to, in the midst of it all, have a moment of celebration on National Crown Day, which felt a little, it felt a little odd, but it felt great to pause and have a moment and to celebrate some young people.
Even though it might feel odd, Kelly, it's just so crucial. We talk about it every time I'm on here, and it sounds almost cliche now when we say find the moments, But
The
it's
moment.
more crucial than ever to find the moments, because when you have a political system that's trying to make you feel bad, that's trying to steal your history, that's trying to wear you down, one of the ways you fight back is that you don't let it demoralize you.
That's right.
And you go out there and you take your walk in the sunshine and you put on your gospel music and you put on, I just listened to this, I opened an email from Black Girls Breathe, right? And it took me through a meditation. Whatever it is, if you take that little savings and you take a little break, if you take off a day or two a month during the summer, and make have several 4-day weekends, even if a vacation is not within your reach. There is so much local you could do. You can go to parks. Almost every city has free concerts and free movies outside. Go and try to find some fun. Laugh with your kids. Take a break from that boss. Take a break from social media. I am vowing this summer that I am going to break my social media habit.
That's good.
And I'm working on it, but I think I'm going to have to go cold turkey.
That's great.
But at least I have a friend that's been taking off Fridays and the weekends from social media. So figure out how you can go have some fun. Hug somebody that wants to hug you back and do some things that help to heal. We're going to talk about ways that you can fight back later, but for now, let's talk about just finding joy. Finding pleasure in something, taking pride in something, and helping your children to do the same. Because it's very, very tough on them also. It's a different economy that they're facing. For those of you who have college grads and grad school grads or no grads, they haven't graduated from anything, the job market is tough. This is a tough time for them, and they've lived through a lot. So does anybody have any like visceral reaction or something that they're, I know that somebody's on here is holding in something. All right, so talk to me. Do you want to start us off?
So I guess where I am, like I am very disappointed in just America. When, of course, when I heard what happened with the bill, I don't know if it was false hope or what. I was hoping that the bill would not pass.
Yeah, me too.
But on the 4th of July, I think is when it really hit me. When I saw how performative the holiday is, people were celebrating the 4th of July, which is supposed to, I guess, celebrate freedom, without fully understanding that we are not free. We are free to cook hot dogs and hamburgers, but freedom, comes with those things that we, take for granted, the freedom of speech. The freedom, when I think about the president taking away habeas corpus, the freedom to, a just trial, just all of those things. And the 4th of July just went off as if nothing had happened the day before. And Americans have just become so complicit with everything. And, I sat with myself. Either you can lean in or ignore it. And of course, Linda, I'm more on the lean in side. Like, what can be done
Oh,
to
absolutely.
at
I mean,
least
there's that.
educate people? But people have really taken a stance of, for the sake of protecting their own peace, just kind of ignoring it and waiting for things to play out. But we can't do that. Elections are coming up. Florida just recently changed their election cycle. I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
And, it's just terrible. These moves are being made right up under our nose. And as Americans, we're just going on trying to wait it out. until this
No.
administration leaves. So I really want us to lean in and do more. And I think I was more bothered by the inaction than I was by what happened on July 3rd.
They're not going to give in unless we demand, unless demands are made. And so when I think that what you're saying about leaning in is one of the ways that you deal with trauma. You find your joy, yes, you continue to do that, but you have to find ways in your communities and with the local elections, with the state elections, with the national elections, with community organizations and activist organizations to find a way to do your part. And that's just it. We have to find ways to do our part, even with our busy lives, even trying to cling to our jobs, even trying to keep children in college. You just have to find ways to help. And there's many, many ways to do your part. Not everybody's on the front line. Figure out what is comfortable for you. If it's just going into someone's office and volunteering in an election office, if it's volunteering to work, my husband works at the polls. Find ways to do your part and find ways to do your part that, if you can, that in things that interest you. Dee works on behalf of children and education and disabilities, and she's serving on these state boards. I don't know how she's doing it. She's doing it while she has, taken a child on the swimming circuit, which is pretty much 24/7. So please find a way as fighting for your rights, asserting yourself is one of the ways under liberation therapies that you heal yourself.
You said something so intriguing just now to me. I'd never heard liberation therapies. Can you say more on that?
So the way that trauma has been processed in the field of psychology is it comes a lot out of military post-traumatic stress. And that is what is in the DS, the main trauma that's in the DSM. Racially based therapy, some development, excuse me, racially based trauma that you get when you're growing up, called developmental trauma, is not centered, right? So, and it's not contained in the DSM. And so therefore, the treatments that have been developed to treat trauma is to help you to process the trauma and help you to cope with the trauma, right? And give you coping mechanisms, right? But that leaves out the aspect of culture and race from treatment. So about, this has been around a long time, but Black therapists came up with liberation trauma treatments. And these liberation-based treatments do help you to cope and process the trauma, work through the trauma, cope with the trauma, but they also have an aspect of seeking justice and seeking redress for what you have gone through as a way to help you heal. I mean, like used, for example, the Montgomery bus boycotts, where people came together to process the fact that they were under all of these rigid systems of oppression, but they also banded together as communities to do the Montgomery bus boycott. And in the same way, to give us credit, people have banded together and communicated together to talk about brands and where they're going to put their money and trying to buy within community. So those are all ways to do it too, in addition to the political process. But DSAP is absolutely correct in that it's not going to happen on a layback. And there are obviously lots of people, even on this call, who have worked on these issues, that are continuing to work on these issues, that are working in the election process, that are contributing to candidates, and that are working. But just know right now is that each and every one of us should have some concrete things that we are doing and planning to do, and involving our children in these things, because they're a little bit removed, and we try to keep them segregated from the things. But take them out. Make sure they go with you when you vote. Make sure that they understand what it means to vote, right? Make sure that they don't fall for the okey doke of staying at home, right? Of ceding their power by saying, "I'm not going to vote. They're all alike." That's how we ended up here. So, that is sort of the basis of liberation-based traumas, is that you don't just cope and process. You go out and find ways to right wrongs that happen to your group.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. And I know it's quiet this morning. And
Yes.
does anybody have anything they want to chat about, share with one of your children?
This is Vicky. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Dr. Linda and Kelly and Dee. It has been an interesting week, is the word that I will use. What I was thinking about this morning is the opportunity for community, if I can say it that way.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, I won't go into the fact that I am a unapologetic conspiracy theorist, you know, the whole liberation psychology and therapy. I'm very passionate about it as well. And for me, when things like this happen, I lean into what did my ancestors do? How did my grandparents and great grandparents survive? What is the opportunity for community to create solutions in spite of the tactics of subversion that are going on? So I just wanted to introduce, you know, and I'm aware of it without being absorbed by it. And I take that opportunity again just to say, how can I support? Like, is it within my family structure? Yes. My church? Yes. My community, my sorority? Yes. And so I'd like to just chat about a little bit, Dr. Linda, if you have some recommendations about how we can begin to take steps to create solutions, right? Sharing wellness labs, you know, I do sound healing and other things. So just to give us hope, because hope deferred makes the heart sick. And those of us who, like Dee, me, you, Kelly, who are on the front lines, it's an opportunity for us to provide hope to people who are becoming demoralized and feeling destabilized by what's happening, and then ultimately numb. So I just wanted to introduce that into the conversation, and I'm allowing my anger and disappointment to really fuel me in the direction of educating my family members, you know, people I'm in relationships with. And then saying, hey, we got to prepare, because when it's time to produce, we won't have time to prepare. You know, i.e. that horrible flood in Texas, right? And all those people who lost their lives. Well, that's the result of some choices that were made early on in this recent administration. So can we talk about that? I'm going to be quiet, but that's what's on my heart today, is
No,
to
thank
provide
you.
hope so that we don't become heart sick and then vulnerable unnecessarily.
One of the things that I can share personally, I had been talking to Kelly about doing a podcast on mental health across cultures for a long time. And it just so happened to coincide with this administration. And one of the things that makes me feel really good is that I'm still talking about culture and multiculturalism. And it feels like I'm doing something more than just starting a psychology-based podcast. So that it makes me feel good. And so what I'm thinking about is in our organizations that we already have created, in our structures that we already have created, our churches, our community groups, our sororities, our women's organizations, our men's organizations, our scholarship groups that we're on, anything that you're involved in, I think this kind of mobilization should be brought up. What can we do more? What can we offer? Can we get together and offer lunch programs in the summer? Can we provide food at community centers or places where people are? Can we drop off food at aftercare? What can we do? Can we enhance scholarships? Can we make it easier, find a place like they're doing in Baltimore to address mental health and crime? Can we provide more space for youth? Can we provide a mental, can we bring in a mental health specialist to talk to our group to help us? Because one thing I didn't say, I started off with finding joy, but really where we need to start ourselves is we have to stay sane. We have to individually stay sane and help people around us stay sane and whole throughout all of this. And when we do that, and we can, then we can go out and say to people, this group sounds stressed. Maybe we should bring in a mental health person. But finding ways that this bill is going to impact people and seeing if there's ways that we can help. Is there, there's a church around the corner from me that my husband works at, and they've decided that they're going to do more pantries. And they've started to collect money in order to do that. And there's still grants and money that's out there. So is your group in positions where they can capture money in order to help? Money comes out of your pocket, but there are also people that are funders out there that are still trying to do the right things. So how can you mobilize? That's how you mobilize. How can you enhance the services that you already provide that can leverage people? I'm trying to think about philanthropic efforts in psychology, in terms of like providing, helping psych young clinicians of color make it in the field. So there's all kinds of ways that you can help, both within the political system, but within our communities that can help. And like I said, it comes out with you feeling really good about it, right? Kelly's done a lot of work with the Crown Act, helping people, making laws across the country that make it illegal to discriminate in employment situations because of hairstyles. That is doing her part. That's helping people stay employed that have worked so hard to only be denied it because of their hairstyle. So there are many, many ways that you can help in our community. It just takes a small commitment. To say that you are gonna set aside 3 or 4 hours a month as a start. I always say when you're goal setting, when you're trying to do something, start small. So those are some of my ideas. Kelly and Dee, I don't know if you have any other ideas, but I'd be happy to hear them, or anyone else on the call.
I love the idea of doing our part. I think doing our part, and I think there's organizations that are looking for help, like Reverend Siobhan's National Council of Negro Women. She's always talking about how do I make it, how do I connect to younger people so that we really can galvanize and be fighters like our ancestors who were really warriors. But what does that look like now? What does the National Council of Negro Women look like now? Well, after the Dorothy Height days, Dr. Dorothy Height, how can young people be galvanized and excited about voting and making change, et cetera? So I would say things like those organizations, and there are tons of them. That's just one example. I think my challenge is how to take on one more thing, if I'm honest, with everything that's going on and just trying to survive.
That's the same part, right?
Right. And
Yeah.
so trying to survive, and Kyle called this morning with this, he called this morning from Colorado, and it was just super depressing. And I'm sitting here like trying to get through this call right now.
Right.
It's like I have, no energy to go fight something else. I'm trying to keep my son alive. So that's the issue, I think, for many of us, particularly on this call. We're talking about
Understanding,
children that are
right.
in crisis.
Understanding that there is a time when you can do and sometimes you can't do. Some days you just, some months you just have to get to the next day.
That's
And that
right.
was the part when I was talking about the same part is that you have to be able to put one foot in front of the other yourself. And if you can't, if you're not in the position right now to do that, or it's very difficult, then you have to take some space.
That's right.
I've done that the last year to try to work on my health, to get healthy. And
You look, it shows.
it is really hard to do because I saw so much happening in the last year that I wanted to be a part of, and people were asking me to be a part of. And I worked so hard in my second career to be a part of, to be at the table. And but it was the right choice. And Dr. Vicky says in the chat, reiterating, some days we parents don't have it, and that's okay.
That's right.
That is okay. Your job is to, when Kelly is sitting there, is to get home today and get, check out your apartment and just make sure that you have a bed to sleep in, and then really just go to bed.
I was sharing with Dr. Linda for everybody. There was a fire in my building, apparently. And so there's water all in my apartment. So I was like, oh my goodness. I left when I got divorced, left everything. So I just, have a few new things. And so, like, apparently they're all wet and there's water everywhere because the sprinklers went off. So I'm like, but I was like, wow. And then I got to a place, well, everybody's fine. Thank God for that. And so it's just stuff. So. But to your point, it could be worse. It's just stuff and it's wet and it's gonna be all right. But having said that, I love what you said about giving grace, and I love what Dr. Vicky says. Some days as parents are just we just have to get through it, and that's okay. And that's right. So thank you for that.
Can I say something, Kelly, just for us all? It is just stuff. And I also want to encourage you, though, to feel your sadness about what has happened, right? We know you and see you as our leader, our visionary, and it's just stuff, but it was your stuff. You know what I mean? And so I want to just hold space for you to feel sad about that, to cry about that, to not be okay about that, and not feel any pressure to perform for yourself, for us, for anybody, because, I'm dealing with a young adult as well. And it's a very challenging time for me. So I have pull back, as Dr. Linda said, from a lot of things that I would want to be publicly involved in. I just don't have it. And I'm not explaining it. I'm not apologizing for it. It's very hard right now, what I'm supporting my young adult through. I have my grandchild with me right now, just as an example of it. And it's hard.
It is hard.
That's in addition to what's going on in the world. So I just want to say to you, Kelly, it's okay to be angry and grateful. They both can exist at
And they can exist at the
the
same minute, in the same,
same time.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
So I just wanted to say that, like,
Thank you for
Do you?
verbally
Thank you.
acknowledging that Kelly, is not there, and many of us are not there. I can tell by the silence that there is a lot of depletion
That's a
in
good
our
word,
community.
depletion. That's a good word. Depletion is a good word. It's like you have moments. I've been working in New Orleans all week for clients, which is what an incredible blessing. What an incredible blessing. So I hold that so clearly. And yet I'm physically exhausted. Made a choice to fly back to DC to see Beyonce, which was incredible, but not the best choice for my body. I had to fly back here and perform all day yesterday, work. To that point, though, it's like having, I love what someone said earlier, taking the moments, those moments to celebrate and those moments of joy are important. And then at the same time, moments to rest, because I am physically exhausted and don't know.
And moments to grieve.
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
this life where we are raising children of color, it's not an easy life. And I remember talking to a head of school in one of these fancy private schools about my own child. And I just said to him, raising a black child is one of the toughest assignments you'll ever have. And I have one shot. I don't have nine shots. I don't have a trust fund. I don't have, I can't protect him.
Yeah.
And so I want y'all to acknowledge that some of the things that we have to deal with our children are added stressors and burdens, and that we should take the time to allow ourselves to process it. And then with respect to what was being said about Kelly earlier, is in all of us, is that you do find moments of joy, but you also have to acknowledge that sometimes, even though your thing is maybe not the biggest thing in the world, it's something to you. And that it's okay to feel sad for losing your material possessions. D, hands up.
Yeah, this just another point that that I forgot to make. The first thing that I thought of when I saw the bill had passed, because when you hear about it, people say that it affects all of us. And people really don't understand that. They only look at the financial part of it and they're like, oh, well, if you make over $50,000 a year, you should be fine. If you're not on Medicaid or Medicare, then you should be fine. All the you should be fines. But the first thing that I thought about, and you and Kelly know how difficult this thought was for me, but I'm going to have to sit down. My husband's traveling. But have a conversation with him when he gets back to see how we can prepare to care for our son long term. Like that's the first thing I thought about, our son with autism and an intellectual disability. And so this isn't all about our income. Now, with everything else I have going on, there's just, I'm not going to say no hope, but I have to be realistic about our situation.
Right.
And so immediately I was like, how am I going to be able to take care of him long term
Right.
without the supports? And that's the first thing that came. And I think that's the part that's sad because he wants to be like he's fiercely independent and doesn't really know his limits, which is great, because that keeps him pushing, but it's not him. It's the world that I really have to worry about now. And just as you said, he's still a black male, but he also has a disability and all those
Right.
services these laws affect him. So I just encourage people to think about how they could affect you or your loved one.
And
Even
people
if it's
don't,
not the
they,
surface level,
right.
these are your friends,
Right.
the funding for ICE that just went up, they're not just taking criminals. they're it's just terrible. So I just want people to think about others, love others. And it really comes down to that. Just have some level of compassion for someone that's not yourself.
That's one of my biggest disappointments in America right now, is what I see is just like, oh, it doesn't impact me, or like, they're criminals, and just the dehumanization of other people, that is really tough. And again, I don't think the confusion and the misdirection and pointing people toward hate has really worked to take the focus off of what's in this bill. I would just say personally in my family, we got Medicaid to help. You can get Medicaid to help if you're a sibling or a loved one is taking care of your parents. You can get some support for that because it's way cheaper. That will likely go away. And my sister took care of three family members, parents, and my younger sister, who, I've shared with y'all, passed away in September. So she was able to do that with a small, $1,200 payment a month. So that's just an example. When you just think about poor people on Medicaid, that's not all that Medicaid pays for. Medicaid pays for nursing homes. So I think that people are going to be way more impacted than they think they are. Community programs being taken away means that more kids on the street, more things to worry about. So you can try to isolate yourself, but I don't think there's any way that this bill is not going to touch each and every single American. And yeah, public school funding supplemented with Medicaid. 41% of all births in this country are covered by Medicaid. So let that sink in, y'all. 41% of births are paid for by Medicaid in the United States right now. And any prenatal care obviously follows with that.
It's quiet. Does anyone have anything they want to share, get off their hearts? This is what's so lovely about this call, Dr. Linda, is it's open for anything that someone may have on their
How are you doing,
mind.
ladies, this morning? I was lit thinking about when the bill was passed. I was just thinking right now, my son is in supportive housing, and I know I have another niece who's in New York who is in this wonderful supportive housing program, and it took 2.5 years to get one of them in and over a year to get my son in. And I'm pretty sure based on these, I'm not sure all that's going to happen, but it's almost the annoyance of you go through all of the steps to go through all of the right ways to get into a program that you're overly qualified for, and what the future of that, I'm not sure what's going to be. And I'm not really sure, having them come back and live with me, how's that going to roll? Just so the emotional and psychological implications of it, it's just it's a bit much, when you start to think about how it really, like, what happens then? And then because they're adults, it's not like they let us know if or when they get everything funded. You don't know. So it's another stage of being in the thick of it, and praying about it. But I've been reading this book called Rest is Resistance, and it has really been a bit helpful, just really explaining, like, taking the time out to take care of yourself, to take that breath, to feel what you feel actually, and sitting with it and understanding how that impacts you physically and emotionally, impacts your way of being. And so, like, I think it was Vicky might have said, or Linda, I can't remember, but it's that whole needing to acknowledge how this is.
Are you still there? Hello?
Yep, you ended on leading to acknowledge. It looks like she's there. We can't hear you anymore right now, Jules. Maybe she just went out for a second. I see. It looks like the
Okay.
phone's still on.
While we're waiting for her to come back, is anybody else? I mean, what she was mentioning is real. I mean, you spend all of this time searching for the solutions that can keep your child safe and working toward autonomy and well and high well-being. All right, come on back then, Jules.
I lost sound.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yes, I can now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Don't know what happened. Well, it was just important to feel. So me too. I've been going through health challenges, and one of the things that I learned in my health journey is I'm not a real yeller and a screamer. I'm not one of those shouting or people who get it out. And what I learned is the impact of the stress was causing such negative impact in my entire body and in my nervous system and in especially in my gastrointestinal areas. And that whole concept of rest and breathing and feeling and actually experiencing it and with the acknowledgement has been part of the healing. And that was a very new concept for me, but I just thought it tied in well with Dr. Linda's whole point with, taking care of your body and Vicky's belly.
Going out again, Jules.
I love the taking care of our body. Absolutely.
I put in the chat a book that talks about that, My Grandmother's Hands, and it talks about racialized stress and how that goes through and impacts your bodies. My Grandmother's Hands. But what I wanted to say about what Jules initially said is that you spend all this time trying to find a solution that fits you, helps you to keep sane, gives you some space, but also works on their well-being. And then something like this comes up that takes the funding away. We spend decades working with families, come up with some solutions that can keep the parents whole. And then this happens. And it's just sad. And I feel like that at least today, like, and we can do this again if you want. I'm actually thinking, and I'm going to talk to Kelly about this, of doing some in-person sessions for people that just want to come, and maybe we'll have some music and some snacks. And
And the sound baths, Dr. Vicky's sound baths are amazing.
Maybe we'll do something to in person to sort of help us through these next months. Y'all have been a loyal part of our community, and we want to make sure that you stay whole. And so, Dee, Kelly, and I will talk about this, but I'm definitely willing to do whatever I can in the DMV or within a short car ride.
Love it. Thank you. Yes, we'll do that.
To support all of you all.
Absolutely.
So if we have time for maybe one last comment, or if anyone has anything, we're going to end a little bit early today, because I want Kelly to not have to run on two wheels to the airport.
Thank you for
I'm
that.
going to honor that my intention is for her to not always be on two wheels. I'm going to try to support that today. And if we don't have anything, I definitely think that this was a useful session. I'd like to do more of them, and maybe we can advertise them as such, topics, but just to sort of talk about aspects of coping, processing, and seeking redress.
And rest. I love what you said earlier about rest when you were saying your doctor had said you needed, what did you say, 7 hours of sleep?
7 hours of sleep.
That's just wonderful. I think I'm at two or three. And if I can get to four, that would be a blessing. But seven sounds
I mean,
like,
the
wow.
studies that they have about sleep right now and their ties to all aspects of health is unbelievable. So yeah, I've got some support in the chat about doing a DC session. So let's make that happen.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's make that happen. And I'm gonna turn it back over to you, Kelly, to
We're gonna turn it over to Dr. Vicky to close us out. And I just want to say thank
all
you for the
righty now.
thank you for the support this morning. It was right on time. So
Sisters Unfiltered is on July 16th, right? Just to make sure that I'm supporting what services we already
that's
provide.
awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that. And so
So,
Dr.
dear
Vicky will
God.
turn it over. Oh, there you are.
Yep,
Thank
I
you.
am here. God, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, and we choose to rejoice and give you glory. Thank you for new mercies today, for grace that is sufficient, for favor that surrounds us. Thank you that we don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we can make our requests known to you while we are doing the work, because your word says faith without works is dead. So thank you for this community. Thank you for courage. Thank you for Kelly and Dee and the Sunrise Project and Dr. Linda's consistency, giving us a place to come, even for our souls and our spirits to find rest, even if it's only for an hour on Sunday morning. We thank you for this space for every household that is represented, for those that are on the call, those that will listen to the replay. We just are grateful today. And so as we go further into this day, help us to remember to breathe. Help us to be compassionate one toward another, to show kindness, unprovoked kindness, to extend care to our neighbors and our family members. Now, I thank you for traveling mercies as Kelly gets on the road and prepares to travel. Thank you for keeping us whole and well. Thank you for our children, for they are an inheritance from you, and we are just stewards over their lives as gifts. So thank you for wisdom and guidance and support. And even in the midst of what is chaos, what feels like chaos to many, God, we thank you that you are still God and that you've already provided a way for us to get through whatever is coming. So we thank you for protection, for preserving us, for providing for us in the midst of uncertainty. Help us to be certain that we can trust you with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and all of our ways we will continue to acknowledge you because you promised to direct our paths. Thank you for every open door that you've provided for Dr. Linda, for her voice is necessary for such a time as this. We give you glory for all of these things, even prayers and requests unspoken. We thank you for them because you already know, and we give you glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a
Amen.
powerful day, everyone, and a great week.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Okay,
Bye.
go.
Thank you. I'm going. Good day, everyone. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.